your Bible and turn into the book of 2 Thessalonians. I asked God what He wanted to preach today, what He wanted to declare to the people, and this is what He gave me, and I haven't been able to get away from it. Matter of fact, He's giving me the message for tonight, and I appreciate what the Lord's done and what He's doing. But I want to go to the book of 2 Thessalonians in the New Testament. You just keep a traveling on and over, and you get on to Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and then you're going to come to 1 Thessalonians and then to 2 Thessalonians. And when we get there, we go into the second chapter. Thessalonians are the epistles or the writings of Paul under the inspiration of the Spirit of God in the book of Thessalonians, both of them. Deals with the second coming of the Lord Jesus. Now, I believe we're in the latter days. The Bible says, and we're going to read that in a minute, that there's going to be a falling away. I believe we're in a falling away. Different preachers try to explain that away. I'm not going to explain the scriptures away. The Word of God is the final authority. It's not what I think about it. It's not what you think about it. But when you get on the subject I'm on today, you got so many today that's got their own idea. This is what I say. This is what I think. If a preacher tells me that, I'm ready to turn him off. I want to hear what God says. And the subject I'm going to preach on this morning, if you're not settled on that subject and you don't know about what's right, you're going to be in a turmoil. I'm going to hit several little things as we look at this morning, and I hope it'll help you as you begin to think about it. And there's a lot of miserable people. There's a lot of miserable people before COVID ever got around. But now they got a double portion of misery. You run into people every day, don't know what to do, where to go, how to handle the situation. And I've tried my best to handle it just like I was handling it before this ever got here. I'm taking precautions a little bit more because, you know, I know God keep a tractor and trailer from running over me, but I ain't going to stand in the middle of the road to see. Amen. Faith ain't stupidity. No, I'm going to put myself in a place that I know of to get there, but I'm trying to watch it and take the precautions. They come out with that stuff and they said, need to wash your hands. Well, Mama taught me that when I was a kid. Yeah. And I ain't always done it. Some of you men sat down with grease and stuff. You've come off the job and just sat down and eat the table and then wash your hands. How many men's ever done that? See, I told you. Understand? You're not the only one to raise your hand, brother. Don't feel bad. We had two honest men in this building. Rest of you lied. Amen. I won't ask the ladies that, you know. But they have to. Amen. Can I get one woman to say amen right there? Let's see there. So you don't pay no attention to those things. But I'm telling you, I thought, boy, that's something. The government of the United States of America has to tell American people, wash their hands. And other things. We're not on that. I'm just looking at this little thought in the Word of God this morning. Since COVID has come, people are all disturbed or distraught. They don't know what to do. And it's worse now than it's ever been on that charge. But I want us to turn over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Stand, please, and let's read together the Word of God. After I get through reading, you can be seated. I'll pray and I'll bring the message. The Bible said, now we beseech. That's one of Paul's words. Beseech means to beg, plead with, request, petition you. Now we beseech you, brethren. Notice who Paul is speaking to. He's speaking to the people of God, brethren. You don't call the world brethren. Lost people are not my brethren. They're not my brothers and sisters in Christ. I wish they were. I desire for them to be. But if we're not saved, they're not my brother in Christ or sister in Christ. So Paul's writing to the brethren. He's writing to the church. He's writing to the believer. Matter of fact, what he's fixing to write this morning, a believer don't fully understand and will have a trouble with it. So he's writing to the brethren. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto you. He said in verse 2, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us as the day of Christ is at hand. Now remember this. Christ has ascended back into heaven. This is within 100 years. Within 100 years of Jesus ascending back up in... I'm talking about a lot less than 100 years. But within 100 years of ascending back up into heaven. And he's looking for the day of Christ. He's looking for the Lord to come. We're here in 2020. 2020. Hard to write, ain't it? And... We're still looking for Jesus to come. Amen? Some are. Amen. Some of them didn't believe it then. And they don't believe it today. They believed it as brand new stuff to them back then. And we've heard it so long that we don't want to believe it. But he said, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. And this is talking about the Antichrist that will rule. Now some folks don't know nothing about that. But the Antichrist will rule. Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. You can be seated. Our Father, as we bow in your divine holy presence this morning, we thank you, Lord, right now for the touch of God we feel. Lord, we feel your Holy Ghost. We thank you, Lord, for the comfort, the strength you've given us. Lord, for the challenge in our heart that we've received. And it's been a blessed opportunity, a real joy already to be in the house of God. And Lord, to lift you up and exalt you. Now help us to declare the Word of God, to rightly divide the Word of God. Help us not to add anything or take away from it. Lord, may help us not to preach what we think or what we suspect or what we anticipate. But Lord, may we preach what thus saith the Lord, that God may have His right in our heart. And Lord, we not argue with what you have to tell us. We'll give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. For the past 50 years, I've had people tell me that so-and-so is going to be the Antichrist. People worrying about taking a mark of the beast. They worrying about it. And now, so much more even in this time under the pandemic that we've got. I've heard more talk about the coming of the Lord than I have any other time. Different things. And they'll say, well, we're about under the apocalypse. And they use all them big words and scare people up and try to get all that going. But people have been disturbed about the coming of the Lord. I'm going to give you something about this morning. If you're saved by the grace of God, your hope this morning, your strength this morning as a child of God, is in the coming of the Lord. I'd hate to know that this is all there was to it. I've had a good life, 51 years of preaching. And all the other years that God added on top, I've had my 70 plus. I've had a good life. And if I left out of here today, I could say, hallelujah. I got about as many on the other side that's friends. Matter of fact, all of them's friends. As I have here on this side. I don't know of one enemy that's in glory against me. You'll catch on to that in a little bit. There ain't no enemies in glory. But I want to say to you this. In all these years, God has blessed me and kept me. And guess what? I've been looking for Him to come. 51 years ago when I started preaching, you know what the first message I preached was? Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. That where I am, there you may be also. Amen. Did he go? Amen. You said, is he preparing a place? I believe it. He ain't never lied to me yet. Well, he said, if I go and prepare a place for you, he said, I will. Come again. And I'm looking. Been looking ever since. Still looking at that this morning. Well, there's some people, you know, they're just sad people. I don't understand some of them being sad. I'm not talking about, the pandemic. We're forgetting that for the time being. But all unsaved people, to some extent, are sad. They have no hope. This life's all they've got. When they draw their last breath, they're in hell forever. Somebody said, I don't believe that. I didn't write the book. I just preached the message. I'm reading the letter. God sent us a letter to the Word of God telling us that in hell he lifted his eyes. Talk about the rich man. He tells us about how he went through trouble and turmoil and pain and agony, and he was more concerned in hell, and still is this morning, than you and I sitting on these pews in America. He's concerned about his five brothers at that time, he was, and wanted their salvation. These people's got five brothers in this earth right now. It's lost and undone without God, and they're not even concerned about their salvation. But one of these days they will, when they go to hell too. You with me? All right. We're going to look a little bit. But I look at some of the saved people. Saved people ought to be the most happiest people in the world. Amen. I mean, with a toe ache, a headache, and a heartache, we still ought to be able to holler, glory, glory, glory. Matter of fact, you get to hurting next time, just holler, glory, 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 and you'll get excited and you'll forget you're hurting. Try it out. Try it out. Amen. Amen. Sing a song. I always liked it, and I heard my wife around the house singing a song. You can't sing a song and be mad at the same time. I mean, if you're mad, you can't sing, and if you start singing, mad again. Huh? Try that out. That's just plain out deep theology from a country preacher. All right, we'll go a little further. But we got people today. Can you imagine this? They've been in churches for years, and they associate with denominations. Now, I said this in Sunday school. I'm a Baptist by choice. I'm a Baptist because I believe it's the closest thing to the Word of God, but I don't believe with everything that the Baptists do. There's Baptist people in hell. Baptist didn't get me there. I found the Lord, or he found me. Hear me? Lord got me first before the Baptist did. So I appreciate that. I know some that the Baptists have got. And they'll brag about it. But I'm not bragging about the Baptists. I'm bragging about Jesus. He's what saved me. But they're sitting on Baptist pews and other denominations as well doing it. And they've been made to believe in their doctrine that if you do something wrong or go out of line, or do something bad enough, God's going to take his eraser and erase your name out of glory, and you're lost. And some believe today that you can live 50 years under a saved business of being born again and do it right at the last minute, something wrong, and die and go to hell. Now, I couldn't be happy like that. I've been preaching 51 years, and I sure hope I make it in. Well, I'm going to rephrase that a little bit and tell you something else. I'm going to make it in.
Amen.
Because I've been washed in the blood.
Amen.
And the Lord has forgiven me of my sin. You said, well, you just mind to, what do you... I asked a fellow one time, I said, what do you got to do to lose it?
Right. Yeah.
He said, I've been saved 50 years. I asked him, how long have you been? He said, I've been saved 50 years. I said, in 50 years... You mean to tell me you couldn't do something and die and go to hell tomorrow? He said, yeah. I said,
How many times have you lost it and did it? I ain't never lost it. I said, what makes you think you're going to lose it? He said, because, and now, give me some Bible, ladies and gentlemen. Show me. I'm in the Father's hand, and no man can pluck me out of his hand. I've been born again. He said, I'm going to give you eternal life or everlasting life.
Amen.
Can you imagine me? And that's why people don't witness too much. Well, if I believed I was going to lose mine tomorrow, why would I want to give him something to them and mess them up too? You can't be happy thinking you're going to lose your salvation. Well, let's go a little bit more. There's others today who have the wrong views of the second coming of Christ likewise. I was raised in this little part of the country here. I don't know about any. I lived a little while in Atlanta. I lived over in South Carolina. And I stayed over there a little while. And I got run off out of one of the churches. And we started one, come back across. And when I crossed over I-85 over here in Georgia Line, I didn't, but I wanted to stop and kiss the ground. Somebody asked me, said, where you been? I said, I thought I was in hell. Ain't never been but one good thing. Ain't never been but one good thing ever come out of South Carolina. And that fellow said, what? I said, I-85. And I've been preaching ever since. But I didn't give up, quit. I'm just trying to tell you something. But I raised most of my life right here. Many years of my life been in this particular county, Habersham County. And that's where I'm going to be planted. I'm going to leave from Habersham County to go to glory. Well, you know what? When I started, I was in that church with 17 different preachers. That wasn't counting the pastor. One had preached and he had preached something, and another had preached and he had preached something opposite. And the poor old pastor, bless his heart, I'm glad I never had to face that yet. I had 17 preachers, I wouldn't have no hair. Sure enough. And he'd get up and straighten out what that and said. Another preaching, of course, they didn't know what they was preaching anyhow. They thought they did. Hadn't been well versed in the scripture, and he was a good Bible expositor preacher. He knew exactly how to preach. I loved him. Another preaching, he'd preach something about it. And he'd get up and straighten it out. And one Sunday night, he got up and preached on the kingdom of God in the millennium. Back on when I was growing up, I didn't hear too much about the millennium. Now we hear about the millennials and what a mess that's become. And so he got up and talked about one of these days they're going to be able to play with the bear and the lion. They're going to build houses and inhabit them on this earth. And I saw one of them 17 preachers. He looked like he was blossoming for the grave pretty good. At the grocery store the next day, and I said to him, I said, boy, wasn't that a good sermon last night that preacher preached? He said, wasn't a thing of it he said right. I said, what you talking about? He said, there's going to be a literal kingdom on the earth. I said, they are. He said, they're going to play with a bear. I said, they are. And I was beginning to see his eyes kind of getting a little out in his face. And he and I parted that day. No, I didn't part from him. But he left me. Didn't have no use for me anymore. And he left the church. Because he didn't believe in that. Why didn't he believe it? Somebody had messed his mind up. You said, you believe all that? Yeah, but we're not getting into that today because I don't have time. I never finish a message already. I just quit. We just get to unhitching place. Amen. Just pray I get hungry and I quit quicker. But let's go. Look at what we can.
I talked to another. They said, I believe that there's no such thing as a rapture of the church. It's not even mentioned in the Bible. The word rapture is not there. The word gambling ain't either. Do you believe it's wrong? Huh? Y'all believe gambling's wrong? Well, quit buying lottery tickets. Gamble's in there, but gambling ain't. Gambled is in there. There's a lot of words to me. I believe them. I believe there's a rapture. Then another one said, well, you know, I believe there's going to be a rapture, but I believe that the church is going to go through part of the tribulation. And then I believe the Lord's going to come in the middle of that tribulation. Now, what do they call that? Mid-tribulation rapture? Something other. And not too long ago, I run into somebody lean toward that. He didn't know for sure. In that day, you had the what we call the premillennialist. The postmillennialist. And the amillennialist. I'm throwing out three words that maybe some of you don't know anything about, but on our sign out there, we call ourselves premillennial. I was criticized for putting that out there one day. I said, we're going to make a new sign, put premillennial independent KJV on it. And a fellow said, and he's a preacher, and he's dead now. He says, don't do that. What you're going to do is you're going to label yourself. I said, what do you think we're putting a sign out there for? I mean, this is the peach orchard, but we're selling apples. See what I'm saying? You make your sign right. We put it on it. It's helped us. They had those three views that premillennial believes that there's going to be a rapture of the church. The saints of God are going to be called out. Then Christ is going to come in the clouds with the souls of them, unite the bodies, and they're going to come out of the grave. And then a tribulation sets in. And the Antichrist is going to talk about here in 2 Thessalonians is going to be revealed. He can't be revealed today. Unless today is the day that the church is caught out. And then they'll be with the Lord. And then after the tribulation, the Lord himself is going to come back with the saints of God. They're going to set up a kingdom. Rule and reign for 1,000 years on the earth. The Jews are an earthly people with an earthly promise. Now some of you sitting there like, I ain't yet sure I'm going to agree with you. And this is one of them sermons you don't get too many amens on. But if you don't amen me, all you're doing is just telling me you don't know what's going on. Or you're not sure. Are you not going to believe what I'm preaching? And if it gets too quiet, I'll sit on the front row and holler hallelujah, amen, anyhow, preacher. Because I know I'm settled on this. Then we know that there's such a thing as a post-millennialist. There are not many of them now as they used to be. I worked on a public job with a deacon that was a post-millennialist. Went to the First Baptist Church in Clarksville, Georgia. A deacon there. He's dead now. He told me, he said, one of these days the earth is going to get so good, the world's going to be so much better, and it's going to get better and better and better, and we're going to get into a utopia. And then we're going to have a perfect society. That's what the post-millennialists say. Post is after. I wish I could talk to him today. I don't know where he went to heaven or hell. But I wish I could talk to him today. He's got a different view on that today.
Amen.
And you know, ever since he said that, it's got worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. And except there come a falling away, the Lord said this Antichrist would not be. And so he tells us, this know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. Timothy says that. Perilous. Are we in perilous times? Perilous means dangerous, scary times. These are the most scary times I've ever seen in my life. They said, if you don't vote this year, this is the most critical time to vote. And if we don't vote and don't get what we need, this country's upside down. And we're going toward communism. And I agree with them. And I'm not a politician, I'm a preacher. And I don't believe in mixing politics and that, but when it goes to the freedom of my grandkids and my great grandkids having freedoms to have what I've had down through the years, yes, sir, I'll become a high politician. I'll be a political preacher. Thank you, ma'am. I know I'm telling the truth. And it's high time that all you folks today wake up and recognize our country's at stake. But we are in perilous times. So, in that little time I had that, and then they had the amillennialist. Now, you know what happens, you know what amillennialists are? This is how I tell you what an amillennial is. Actually, amillennialists, they can believe about half a dozen. They've not even settled on what they do believe. They don't really know when the Lord's come. Coming. I don't either, but I know the routine. And you say, what about this? And you say, And most of these are the cigarette smoking preachers stuck up in the hillside and don't know anything about God.
Amen.
Been married 2 or 3 times.
Yeah. Amen.
Don't see nothing wrong with that.
Amen.
Amen, preacher, preach it. I'm not scared to preach it. I don't have nobody to please. I'm not here to make nobody mad. But the Bible is the Bible.
Amen.
Then this little crowd come out one time. Baptist is over here preaching the second coming of the Lord and the rapture. People have been preaching the rapture since the days of the church. They didn't call it the rapture. They called it calling away, taking out. The Lord's coming. Paul preached it. Early preachers preached it. I know some in the early 1900s that preached it. Got books of them. How they wrote about all this. And I still didn't know how to believe that. We had 17 preachers. They had all these different ideas. A county that's all twisted and warped and still have. There's churches in this county right now that are all millennial churches. Some of them are premillennial churches. And then there's some that don't know what kind of churches they are. So I had to do something. Starting to preach. I never had no education much. Just had a high school education starting. I didn't know much about the Bible. My mother and dad went to church. My dad got saved. I was a pretty good sized boy when he got saved. Didn't go to church too long before I got saved. My mother didn't care too much about the Bible at all. And I was raised under those circumstances. We didn't have family prayer. We didn't have family altar. We didn't have Bible teaching. We just lived. And I didn't know nothing about the scriptures. I had to do something. Couldn't go to school. Got married early. Couldn't go to school. If I could have, I didn't have no money. I went to a Bible college or two to check it out. And I desired to go. Couldn't go. Got to have some help. Got to have somebody help me. And I prayed, God, show me what the Bible says and what the Bible teaches.
Amen.
And I began to search the scriptures. And God geared me up with a man called Oliver B. Green. If y'all don't know Oliver B. Green, check him out. He's over in glory. But he's still on the radio every day. I listen to him every day from 4:30 to 5 o'clock. Every day if I'm at home. Simply preacher. He's a simple preacher. I mean, he preached some hard sermons back in years ago under the tent. But I heard him on the radio. And he preached a lot on the second coming. I'd read his books on the second coming. I'd send him $2 and he'd send me back a hardback book and I'd read it and preach it before the week is out. And he got me molded on premillennial doctrine. You said, well, now you're following his doctrine. No, it all lines up. Premillennial doctrine is the only thing that'll line up with the scriptures 100%. All the others you have to twist around and warp it around to make it believe what you want it to say. I know. I went to churches that believed you. I looked at that. I tried to get. I wanted what was right. And one day it dawned on me. I had it right. And ever since I got it right, brother, I've been happy. So these people don't know. I don't understand. Then as the crowd come out one day and said, well, you don't believe all that stuff. Jesus come in 1917. We got a crowd that said he done here. They knock on people's doors, calls themselves Jehovah's Witnesses, but they're Jehovah's false witnesses.
That's right.
Yeah. I didn't know I was getting into all this today, but anyhow, amen. I'm not going to apologize.
Right.
I used to go out knocking on doors and Jehovah's Witnesses would get out early on Saturday morning. I could take a bunch of men and get out early too. I thought, if we had the spunk and the zeal that some of them have, our Baptist churches would be full. And we went out, and they'd done been there, and I reach over and get the watchtower stuff off and fold it up and put it in my back pocket and leave our good stuff there. I like to go behind them. You said, what happened? Why? If you did, why'd you? Because they'd have done my literature like that. Somebody said, well, you shouldn't get it. You'd be put in jail if they catch you doing it. I said, well, that's all right. I'll throw it in their face if they want to. They'd have it back. You ever tried to give Jehovah's Witness some good godly literature on the blood or anything? Good gospel tract? Hand it to them. Sometime try it. No, I don't want that. I say, you need it. It's got, no, I don't want that. But they hand you, they'll give you theirs. And I say, I tell you what. You give me yours, and I'll give you mine. You know, and I'll give you mine. And if you'll take mine, I'll take yours.
That's right.
Try that on. You said, what will happen? They'll go get in the car. They don't want your literature. You want me to tell you why? They've sat and been educated on how to react to what you're going to tell them from the Word of God. They've gone to school more than you've ever gone to school to figure out how to fight you.
That's right.
Yeah. Why, you ain't even figured out how to win them yet. I'm not talking about Joe's win. You ain't even figured out how to win lost.
Yeah.
You don't win it by, boy, that's a pretty boat you got out there. I like your truck. Where do you work at?
Yeah. Just telling it right. Amen.
You got to talk to them about the Lord.
Amen.
So you find that. And then some fella was at my place and he said, you know, said you fellas that believe in the rapture of the church, said, if the Lord don't come pretty quick, y'all going to be in the tribulation. That's what he told me. I said, nah, we're not going to be in tribulation. God's not going to let us go through that. It's getting rough. It's getting dark. It's getting the sails, brother, are blowing in the breeze and the boats are getting shaky. But I want to tell you something. I'm listening for a shout any moment now for the Lord to come.
Right.
And the dead in Christ rise. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Somebody said, preacher, you're getting beside you. Say, oh, yeah, I am. You know why I'm saying that? Because I'm settled on it. The Antichrist can't be revealed. Somebody said, the old Antichrist is in. He's all, well, yeah, he could be alive. He could be about ready to assume a responsibility. And he could be about ready to take over. But he can't. Only he who now letteth will let. Till he be taken up. Now let me look at that just a little bit. Whew, I'm getting tired and y'all getting hungry. But we got a lot of preaching to do.
Amen.
And I'm not going to hold you past our time. Amen. If you want some more of this, you just have to come back. If you don't want no more, I guess you won't. Amen. But anyhow, look at what he says. He said, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. The falling away has got to come first. We're in that falling away. Then in verse 4, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. In other words, the Antichrist is going to try to take over the place of God. He's been trying to do that for ages. The devil has. And he's got one more attempt. He's got one more time. I could talk about the times that the devil has tried to take over. But I want you to go down here in verse 7. He said, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Now a lot of people have been, they've had to take Maalox and all kinds of nerve pills to calm the nerves trying to figure out what that verse means. But only he who now letteth will let till he be taken out of the way, and that is the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Ghost is dwelling in me. The Holy Ghost is dwelling in you if you're saved. And brother, the Holy Ghost is the only thing that's keeping the devil off our case. And God is only allowing certain things to happen. And we are in this day and hour, brother, in this day of grace, God has done us like he's done Job. He's pulled back some of the restraints, but he can't destroy us. He may hurt us, but he can't destroy us. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word not pass away. God said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I said in Sunday school that he'll fight us. And the Holy Spirit right now is holding this thing together. When the rapture goes out, or when the rapture happens and the dead in Christ rise, the Spirit of God goes with the saints of God because we're indwelt with the Spirit. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit did not dwell on the earth. He just overshadowed, come upon people, and they were filled with the Spirit, and the Spirit of God was upon them. That's what happened all through the Old Testament. New Testament, he dwells in us. When the Holy Spirit's called out, then only he who now letteth will let until he's taken out of the way. And when the Holy Spirit's cut out, the devil, through the Antichrist, will begin to rule. And he'll get so bad, there'll be a false peace, and we're not going to get into all that. There's just so much preaching here. Lord have mercy. There's 50 years of preaching here. And so what's happening, we're finding that at the end of that thing, the Lord himself's going to come. And the Holy Spirit's not here. And now in chaos on the earth. You think you've seen some rough days? You wait till the sun gets to scorching men's. You wait till the water turns to blood. You wait till these vials and you said, "Ah, that's just something of significance." We don't want to take that literal. Then what do you do with John 3:5? Except born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. What's that mean? Is that just you don't take that literal either? I take the word of God like it is. God said it. I believe it. Amen. Amen. And somebody said, that makes it so. No, God said it, and it makes it so. Amen. Whether I believe it or not. That's right. You with me? Amen. So we know today that there's some things going to happen, and I'm settled on it. If you're not settled on the coming of the Lord, what's every child of God do when you get up in the morning? You're supposed to be looking. Lord, you didn't come yesterday. You didn't come last night. I'm looking for you to come today. The Bible said, well, let me just read it to you, and then we'll quit. You said, thank God. Amen. You said, preacher, I didn't want the whole load. You ought not have backed up. Titus. The Bible said in the book of Titus chapter 2 verse 11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. And what's that grace do? It said teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Is that the way we're doing? It's supposed to be. And then he said in verse 13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. On the Mount of Olives, he went up. The Bible said two men in white apparel, two angels. stood by and said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus that you've seen go into heaven will come in like manner." He's coming in the clouds. And I started to preach on the clouds this morning. But I didn't have to. I got on them anyhow. You'll catch that in a minute. I'm riding the clouds. I'm on the clouds. Amen. I'm a little bit above where I was when I came in this morning. A little bit of glory's got into me. And I feel much better now. Some of y'all may feel worse going out, but I'm going to feel better. I can't hardly wait to start tonight's message. Matter of fact, I ought to come back and finish this, but I'm not going to. I'm going to preach something else. One thing, we open back up the church again, I get all them real. I can go from one subject to another. I don't have to get a one little shot and go home on Sunday and hope it was enough to stir your grits for the week. Amen. Praise God. We're going to come back and get some more tonight if any of you can, if you're brave enough to try it. Come on back. Amen. Heads bowed, eyes closed.